Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Sorry, shedding a tear there. I just realized it's awful. After today, we only got one more no-huddle offense.
Then the NFL season goes away.
Yuck.
Well, the NFL these days is really a 365-day out-of-the-year sport. But with that being said, there's a reason you only get 17 weeks of the regular season. And then you do get 4 weeks or 4 weekends in the postseason. So, we'll make the most out of this no-huddle offense, the second-to-last one for this football year. We're coming to you live, as always, on the Zach Gelb Show from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We start off with the first game, NFC Championship game, Lambeau Field,
the frozen tundra. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the number one seed, Aaron Rodgers. And,
go Pack, go! The Green Bay Packers. We take you right to the end of the first half. It was 14-10. Rodgers just threw an interception in the closing minute of the first half. Brady able to convert a fourth down and short. And the very next play, Scotty Miller, our guy, Scotty Miller, who was on the show last week, Scotty Miller came up with a 39-yard touchdown to make it 21-10 right before the half. Let's listen up to the iconic Gene Dekaroff on Bucs Radio.
Fournette, the running back, 8 seconds, 7 seconds. Brady to throw, throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open, makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller, and Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucs score with no time left, or very little in the first half.
Scooter, scooting his way into the end zone, and scooting the Buccaneers into half with the 21-10 lead. Then coming out of the half, fumble. Cameron Bray touchdown. It was 28-10. But before we get to the rest of the game, Bruce Arians did join us a few moments ago on CBS Sports Radio, and he talked about how he was so surprised with the Packers' defensive coverage against Brady and Miller right before the end of the first half.
Yeah, it was like, let's go for the throat. I mean, we had a play called, and they came out in their base defense, and it was the perfect call. Byron Leftwich did a great job. He put a great call in, and a good protection. Tom made a great throw, and Scotty went and got it. Just really surprised that they weren't guarding the sidelines more.
So Bruce Arians was surprised. I think everyone in America was surprised with the Packers' defense down the stretch. So we get to the second half. It's 28-10. And when it's 28-10 and the Bucs open up the half fumbling, getting the football out of the Packers' hands and then turn that into a touchdown to make it 28-10, I know they're still basically two quarters left, but you're thinking the game's over. And then Tom Brady, who was money in the first half, started throwing to the wrong team. There was one interception. There was two interceptions. And then there was a third interception. Jair Alexander had two of them. Here's his second pick of the day.
Motion by Scotty Miller to the left side. Brady under center, and he takes straight back to the under blitz. He pop flies the right side, and it is intercepted again by Jair Alexander. A pop fly because Brady was hit on the pass rush.
And that one was so bizarre. Brady was hit, and you see Evans running down the sideline, and you think, uh-oh, here comes a crazy conversion by Brady, and the ball just fell out of nowhere into the hands of Jair Alexander. So if you look back at the three interceptions, following the first one, the Packers got a touchdown. The second one, at 28-23, Packers came up with nothing. And then, following the third interception at 28-23, the Packers came up with nothing again. So, then the Packers got the ball back. At that point, it's 31-23. So, it's an 8-point game. And the Packers are finally driving. And if you're a Packers fan, you're sitting on the edge of your couch. Or maybe you're on the floor. You can't watch. Is Rodgers finally going to do it? It was first and goal at the 8. First down, nothing. Second down, nothing. Third down, run, Rodgers, run, 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 run. He elects to throw it. Wah, wah, wah. Incomplete. So on fourth and goal at the 8, Ryan Tracehickey, what are you thinking Matt LaFleur is going to do?
Go for it.
Right. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. You're down 8. There's 2:05 left. Why wouldn't you go for it? You kick the field goal? Huh? You make it a 5-point game? Huh? You give the ball back to Tom Brady? I don't care that he threw 3 second-half interceptions. You give the ball back to Tom Brady only needing 2 first downs? What? Huh? Yep. That's what Matt LaFleur did. Now, the Packers looked like they were going to get the ball back. There was an incomplete pass intended to Tyler Johnson. Pass interference was called. Full disclosure, it was PI with the way that the refs were letting them play during the game. I did not like the PI call. It was PI, though. Just when you weren't calling it most of the game, I don't think they should have thrown the flag in that spot. But that's not why the Packers lost the game. The Packers lost the game because, once again, they had 3 chances. 2 to go take the lead, 1 to go tie the game, and they walked away with what? 3 lousy points. And Matt LaFleur even said after the game, that's not the reason they lost the game, the PI. What'd you think of the PI, by the way, Trace? I didn't get your thoughts on this one.
I had no problem with it. I thought it was, right? I mean, he grabbed the shirt, got there a little early. To me, I didn't mind it, so.
It didn't annoy you, though, at all that they weren't calling that throughout the game?
Not really.
Like, there was one play late. I forget who it was. There was one Bucks defender that was trying to rush the quarterback, Rodgers, and his head was basically being ripped off, and they didn't call that. They didn't call that holding on the Packers' offensive line. So with how they were letting things go, yes, it was PI. It just shows you, though, we never know how these things are going to be officiated. I say this all the time. NFL in 2021, 2 things that I know that we don't know. We don't know what a catch is, and we also don't know what pass interference is. So I didn't think, like, if you look at it from the rule, yeah, it's a good call. But with the way they were officiating it, I don't think they should have thrown that flag. Anyway, though, who knows if the Packers are even going to take the ball down the field? Who knows that? They were able to do that 3 other times. It's not why the Packers lost the game. And if you leave it up to the hands of the officials, that's on you. Anyway, though, Bucks, they didn't need this first down, but it did end the game. Chris Godwin, end around, 6-yard rush, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to their home for a Super Bowl.
Here's the snap and an end around to Godwin. Godwin running to the 30. He's got the first down across the 40. Bucks are going to win this football game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a reverse play. Who would have guessed? Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians dial up the right play. Godwin.
And all that audio courtesy of Bucks Radio, also the Packers Radio on the Jair Alexander pick. So still, the biggest talking point from this game was the Matt LaFleur decision to make it a 5-point game and not go for the touchdown, which if you'd have got the touchdown, you get the 2-point conversion. That was on that 4th and goal at the 8 with a little over 2 minutes left. Let's hear from the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who made it clear, hey, that 4th down decision, Don't look at me. It wasn't my call.
Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but yeah, that wasn't my decision.
Can I translate that you in a play? Translate that to you when a player says that it's not his decision? Yeah, awful call. Don't want to throw the coach under the bus with my words, but I'm still going to basically do it and have you interpret it the way that you probably think I meant it. Yeah, Rodgers wanted the ball there in that spot. Rodgers wanted to try to get the touchdown in that spot. It is still, though, stunning to me that he did not run the ball on third and goal. Do you think he scores if he runs that ball on third and goal?
I say no, just because JPP on the left is pretty close, and I'm trusting JPP in that race over Rodgers. But to your point, he gets at least 3 or 4 yards, and you're going to go for it.
Yeah. I think there's a chance he scores. Here's where I put it. I eventually think there is a collision somewhere at the 2 or 3. Could you maybe John Elway helicopter spin into the end zone? Possibility. Who knows? Or you could have been 2 or 3 yards short. If you take off and run, though, yeah, 4th and goal at the 2 or 3. Hey, you should have went for it on 4th and goal. You should have gone for it at 4th and goal at the 8. 4th and goal at the 2 or 3, you're definitely going for it in that spot. Unless if you're Sean McDermott. We'll get to that later on the No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So you heard from Rodgers. Matt LaFleur, you still think kicking that field goal was the right decision?
I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
Now, this is always my advice to coaches. And I appreciate how even when it doesn't work their way, they're still committed in what they called. But, coach, it's very easy. I know that's a tough spot for you. I was wrong. Yeah, we should have gone for it. Because it's so easy. Here's the follow-up. Matt, appreciate what you said. But in that spot, if you trust your defense so much, why not just go for the touchdown there? And then if you don't get it, they got to go 92 yards or still not even go 92 yards. At that point, they still got to get 2 first downs. If you think your defense is that great in the way they were playing in the second half, you go stop them right there. You get the ball back in good field position. You can't justify that. You just can't. Now, Shaq Barrett went all Mookie Betts in the World Series when Kevin Cash wasn't on the money and taking out Blake Snell. And Mookie Betts basically said, oh, yeah, we had hope. Shaq Barrett was definitely surprised. I know BA wasn't surprised when he joined us. He tried to say it was the right call by Matt LaFleur. But Shaq Barrett said he was very surprised that the Packers hit a field goal on fourth down.
I couldn't believe it, honestly, because there's no guarantee that they're going to make it back down there again.
Bingo!
Even if they was on fourth down, they might as well try. But I know offense pretty – they've been amazing in four-minute offense this year, not giving the team back the ball. So I had all the utmost confidence in them. But I know they, if he could take it back, he probably wouldn't do that next time. But I appreciate it. Offense did their job. We did our job, and we came out with the win.
Shaq Barrett, when that happened, he said, all right, you know, I know I got my house down there in Tampa, but let me make sure. I don't know how many Super Bowl tickets you get this year. I got to start making my plans for the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. You give the ball back to Brady in that spot, the chances of you getting the ball back or the chances of you winning the game, slim to none. So Tampa Bay punches their ticket to the big game, Super Bowl 55, at their home stadium. In game number 2, you had Josh Allen going up against Patrick Mahomes. Got off to a good start for Buffalo. You had a field goal. And then you also had a touchdown. You mixed the extra point. You had the Mecole Hardman muff punt. Dawson Knox, a little bit later, had a 3-yard touchdown. Buffalo! And at that point, you want to shout. You're up 9-0. Let's hear it. John Murphy, Bills Radio.
First and goal from the 3. T.J. Yeldon in the backfield alongside Josh Allen. They motion Dawson Knox. Josh takes the snap. Keep it to himself, throws it to Knox, makes the catch at the 3, goes into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Dawson Knox, touchdown, Bills!
It's amazing. You look back at the last 3 home AFC championship games for the Kansas City Chiefs. They were down 14-0 in the first half to the Patriots. They lost that game in the overtime thriller. Last year, they're down 10-0. To the Tennessee Titans. They end up winning that game going away in regulation. This year, they're down 9-0. And when they're down 9-0, I said, what a start for Buffalo. But you just expect, that's how good the Chiefs are. You expect them not only to make it a game, you expect them to end up winning the game by a big number. And the minute when this game got to 14-9, that was it. You knew that the Chiefs were going to win this game. Here's Darrell Williams, 6-yard run to give the Chiefs that 14-9 lead. This courtesy of Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio.
They give it off. Inside handoff goes to Darrell Williams. Trucks the defender. Diving touchdown! Kansas City, like an 18-wheeler, busting through a bunch of hay bales. It is Darrell Williams on a 6-yard touchdown run, and the Chiefs have their first lead of the game.
And then put the cherry on top of the sundae. Travis Kelce was sensational in this game. Here's a 1-yard touchdown reception to make it 31-15. Let's go back out to Mitch.
Darrell Williams in at running back. They're going to fake the... They shovel it inside to Kelce, and he leaps and dives. Touchdown! Kansas City! A wrinkle! A new wrinkle to Kelce. Zeus drinks from the sweet nectar of the end zone on a shovel pass, and the Chiefs have their biggest lead of the game.
That's a 10 out of 10 touchdown call. The only thing missing there is a slight voice crack would be great. Give me a little voice crack. Touchdown! That would be awesome. So the Chiefs stomped the Bills 38-24. Mahomes, turf toe, concussion protocol, no problem. 29-38, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And then for Tyreek Hill, 9 for 172. You just heard one of the Kelce scores. He had 2 in the game. 13 receptions for 118. Big 3. Mahomes, Hill, Kelce. Have fun stopping that. Andy Reid is very proud of how the offense and defense, with both their game plans, ended up executing and having success.
I thought all the coordinators, all 3 coordinators had a nice plan. And the coaches did a nice job with it. And then the players, most of all, believed in it and went out and executed and played their tail off.
I'll tell you, in both games, I don't think the defenses get enough credit for the winning teams. Because it's so easy. Mahomes, Brady, that's the storyline. Frank Clark was awesome in that game at 2 sacks. Steve Spagnuolo, the last 2 years, has done a phenomenal job with the Chiefs. And down the stretch, the Chiefs' defense has been very good. May not be pretty the first half of the season. The second half, the last 2 years, Spag's defense, they start trending in that right direction. So give a lot of credit to both defenses. Because even for the Bucks, JPP, Devin White, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, over and over again. Just some really solid front 7 performances by both teams. So let me just catch you on one thing for the Buffalo Bills. 4th and goal at the 2. In the closing seconds of the first half, it's 21-9. They went for a field goal. Then 4th and 3 at the 8 in the second half. It was 24-12. They kicked the field goal. They make it 24-15. Sean McDermott, we'll get to what he had to say in just a moment on the decisions to kick those field goals there. But let's first say, like, hear him talk about this season. He says this loss is a great learning experience for the team moving forward in what was a successful season.
What you take from this as an organization of how you handle the week, how you handle potential division of the next step, the speed and intensity of this game, in particular at somebody else's field, home field, and so all of that, just having been here before myself, we as an organization, players, staff, coaches, all of us collectively can learn a lot from this.
And they've done a great job building. Got to the playoffs. They were 9-7. They lost to Jacksonville. It was that terrible wild card game with Tyrod Taylor and Blake Bortles. Then they had that 6-win season, playoffs the last 2 years, but Josh Allen had his coming out party this year. And now the question's going to be, you got close this year. Then can you get over the hump and can you finally take down the Chiefs? You lost to them twice this year and get to the Super Bowl and win it. And Buffalo fans would definitely be deserving of that. All right, let's get to Sean McDermott. We talked about those 2 decisions to take the field goals instead of trying to get the touchdown, 4th and goal at the 2, 4th and 3 at the 8. Let's listen up to Sean McDermott.
Yeah, Heather, I did. I thought about it in both occasions, really. And if I had to go all over again, I would have went for maybe one of them. But the one before the half, for sure, I wanted to get points. We were having trouble coming up with points, and I wanted to at least have something to show for it coming out of going into half, especially knowing they were getting the ball after half. And so I'll look back at that, and then I'll go back and reevaluate that, especially the one after half there. And again, as an entire team, we'll learn from this experience.
He handled that a lot better than LaFleur, by the way. because LaFleur just made it seem as if he was correct. McDermott at least alluded to the fact, yeah, maybe we could have done something differently there. That's pretty much of a mission that you're going to get from a coach. The one thing is, yeah, you're getting the ball back in the second half, but the Chiefs were getting the ball back first. And they got a field goal, and it's 24-12. You take a field goal there at the 8? All right, you want to take a field goal the first time at the 2? I don't agree with that. I would have gone for a touchdown. But when it's 24-12, you got to go for the score because field goals just don't hold up against the Chiefs. You don't need to go for the touchdown every time, but when it happens twice, you got to walk away with 7 on one of them, and the Chiefs didn't do that. That's the Huddle Offense. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Take your phone calls next, 855-212-4CBS. Also, reset our poll question examining the Matt LaFleur decision.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's go to Eric in Green Bay. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Eric.
What's happening, man?
Yep, go ahead. What do you got?
You know, my issue is I don't even think Tom Brady's a real human being, man. he's a glitch in the Matrix. He's an abomination. No one person is that lucky. And I'm talking about whether the officials are putting a blinder on to his team or whether he's throwing beach balls and balloons all over the freaking place, gets picked 3 times, should have been picked 6. There's somebody drunk on defense just getting smoked all game long. Never does a team play their best game against Tom Brady. Never. And the dude, goat my rear end.
Oh, well, then you're a fool. You're a fool. He's been to the Super Bowl 10 times.
He's ruined the game for me.
He's been to the Super Bowl 10 times.
The game for me.
Why? Because you can't beat him? Because you can't beat him? Because you can't beat him?
It's prearranged. This is like WWE. Pre-arranged.
You're a fool. You're a clown. You are a clown. The guy's been to the Super Bowl 10 times. He's won 6. And people like you, oh, excuses, oh, the game's rigged. How about you take him down? How about you beat him? Because your Green Bay Packers had what? 3 chances, 2 to take the lead and 1 to tie. And you got nothing. But yeah, give him no credit. I'm not ignoring what he did in the second half. He didn't play well in the second half. But in the first half and the first drive of the second half, what'd he do? Produce. That ball to Mike Evans was really nice. That ball to Scotty Miller was really nice. Cameron Brake touchdown. But come on. What else does the guy need to do? New system, new team for all you stupid system quarterback morons. New system, new team. Guy had 43 total touchdowns this year and is in the Super Bowl again. Todd, Green Bay, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Todd.
All right, so I totally agree with you. I mean, even what LaFleur did is in the end of the third quarter, he went for a 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
he didn't get the 2-point conversion. So what basically he was afraid of is he needed 6 points in 2. But what he didn't listen to you. Like if he would have went in the future and listened to you, it doesn't matter if you got if you get the touchdown there. You're down and you missed the 2 points. But I'm going to tell you, in the Falcon, New England, Patriot, Super Bowl, at the end of the game, when they needed that 2-point conversion and they ran that James White 2-point conversion, you need to have a foolproof 2-point conversion at all times. For the whole year, you need to have the play that gets you the 2 points.
Yeah, but Todd, just real quickly. Yep. Personally, he chased the 2-point conversion early. You could make that case. And maybe you could say he didn't trust his offense in that spot. The play was there. You got to catch the football.
Yeah, it was tipped a little bit by Sue.
But it was still there.
But you're right. Totally, I'm agreeing with you. But I'm going to tell you the pass interference at the end of the game. If you look at it one more time, it was holding. And I know it would have been a first down, but they did not call it holding because the ball was in Brady's hand when the tug happened.
All right, okay? So then it's just a technicality there. I don't think they should have thrown the flag in that spot. They weren't calling it all game. If you look at it, it is a penalty. I don't think they should have thrown it, but it is a penalty. Jim, Wisconsin, next up before we take a break. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I didn't expect to scream that much today in the final 30 minutes.
Hey, man, I'm coming to your defense. Eric from Green Bay, he calls on our local sports talk radio and runs down Tom Brady all the time. So we're used to hearing that.
He's
crap,
a fool.
So. he is, you know. But, you know, there's been a lot of criticism about Aaron Rodgers not running the ball in that third down or fourth down. But I think you can't criticize a guy for having to make a tenth of a second decision. And, you know, it's just Tom Brady is unbelievable. You know, I don't know what to say about the guy, but – you know, the Packers coaches made some mistakes, especially on defense. And, you know, I was listening to a guy talk on the radio today, and he said, you know, that's the problem with analytics. Analytics says you kick the field goal down there.
What analytics, though? Like, the analytics to me, they're so ambiguous, they're so vague. I'll say the same thing that I said at the World Series when Cash elected to pull Blake Snell. Same thing that I'll say. And I'll say it right here now once again. You should embrace analytics. You should use the numbers, but you don't live and die. You have to trust your gut. You have to trust your head that got you to that spot. And your head and your gut in that spot should say, let Rodgers go throw a touchdown with 2:05 left. If there's 6-7 minutes left, you're not hearing a peep from me. You're not. You're not hearing a peep from me. 6-7 minutes left, he takes the field goal. With 2:05 left, giving the ball back to Brady, 3 timeouts. I don't care if you have 3 timeouts in the 2-minute warning. The odds of you getting the ball back, not very good.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Doing More is sponsored by the Home Depot for DIY projects. You know the Home Depot is always in your corner. Now with their mobile app, it could also be in the palm of your hand. The Home Depot mobile app, download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, doers get more done. How about Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes? He's just absurd. Coming back after missing most of the second half of last week's win over the Browns, Mahomes, and something I was not surprised about, bounce back in a huge way as Kansas City defeated Buffalo 38-24. Mahomes threw for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns while leading the Chiefs to 6 consecutive scoring drives as Kansas City will go to their second straight Super Bowl. 855-212-4-CBS. Let's go to Scott in Louisiana. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic. What do you got for me, brother?
Well, I talked to you a couple weeks ago. I'm a diehard Drew Brees fan for New Orleans, Louisiana. Tom Brady is, you got to give him the GOAT, man. He's the greatest of all time. What he's done to come from the Patriots and go to Tampa Bay and bring that team around, and I'm pulling for the Bucs.
Oh, Al, as a Saints fan, you're really pulling for the Bucs? You'd rather have them over the Chiefs even as a Saints fan?
Absolutely. Why not have our division win the Super Bowl?
All right.
That makes us look good.
Yeah, I guess. See, when I lose, I don't try to justify my team from losing. I don't feel any better if my team lost to what ended up being the Super Bowl champion. I don't think that'd make me feel any better as a Saints fan, but if that's the way that you feel, hey, I won't yell at you for that. The only thing I'll yell at you for is that other caller who was just saying that, oh yeah, Brady's just lucky. Lucky. Guy has been 19 years as a starting quarterback. Just played his 14th conference championship games, going to his 10th Super Bowl. That's not luck, my friends. Gary, Ohio, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on? Go ahead.
Not much. I guess sitting here in Finley, Ohio, watching the snow come down here. The weather's getting bad.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys get through it.
Yeah. Hey, the reason I'm calling, because I'm getting tired of these callers, like the last caller you had a couple callers ago.
Yeah.
About getting that Tom Brady's case. Give me a break, the guy, because that guy, if you look at his draft, where he come from, he had every bit what he had where he came from. The guy is a superman, and he's all-time great, and nobody compares to him, just like Michael Jordan in his day. Nobody can seem close to him.
Here's the thing with Brady, and we get into these all-time GOATs and best quarterbacks and best basketball players ever. For people to say no one comes close to him, you know, that to me is a little bit too far. And that's even saying, coming from the preeminent Brady fan there is. And I think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I do. But Joe Montana, like, come on, you gonna tell me Joe Montana doesn't come close to him? Here's what makes Brady so great. Brady had one dynasty. And then he had another. He had one dynasty and then had another. And the dude with age just gets better. And he adjusts and he finds a way to keep on winning. This wasn't even considered a great season this year when you looked at the regular season with the Bucks, and the guy had 43 total touchdowns. Came onto the scene out of nowhere after the Bledsoe injury. Super Bowl, 36 against the Rams. Super Bowl win, 38 against Carolina. Super Bowl win, 39 against the Eagles. Then lost 2 to the Giants. Had an undefeated season up until that Super Bowl. And then the second wave of greatness. Totally new team, building another dynasty. Super Bowl 49, coming back from 10 to the LOB. Super Bowl 51, down 28-3. Winning that Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52, he lost to 505 yards in a losing effort. Super Bowl 53, taking down Mahomes in the AFC title game. Completing the big pass to Gronk, taking down the Rams in that Super Bowl. And now, last year, I tried to tell everyone, Brady's not the main reason they're losing. Look what the Patriots did. Playoff team last year, basically the same offense. They lose Brady, they can't even sniff the postseason. That's not taking anything away from Belichick. Let me be clear on that. But for Brady, he goes to Tampa. This wasn't even a smooth sailing season. He's already talking about next year. He's going to be better next year. And we'll see what happens, but he's in the Super Bowl. So if you have anything critical to say of Tom Brady at this point, and hey, maybe you're a Montana guy, that's fine. Maybe you like another quarterback, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to like your guy. But if you can't admit that Tom Brady's great at this point, I don't know what the heck you've been watching for the last 20 years. Wes, Mississippi, next stop we go. Go ahead, Wes.
Yes, sir. Hey, I agree with you. I'm a big Saints fan. Love Drew Brees. You know, Tom Brady came into our division, and we took care of him the first two games. But, you know, you got to give it to the guy. He understands the game. He understands how to win. Tremendous player. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Tom Brady. Great guy, great player. Wish him the best.
Well, Wes, we appreciate that. Thanks so much. Let's go to Jeff in Green Bay. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me on this evening. I'll start off by saying that I'm a Packers fan. I'm not a Packers fanatic. Which means I enjoy watching them play, and my emotions aren't tied to them losing a game like they did yesterday. Now, that said, Zach, I've been watching them for a long, long time. Since, you know, Favre's first Super Bowl was when I was a senior in high school, and we have a 20-year culture with this team of winning. The difference between Favre and Rodgers as opposed to a guy like Brady is that we have a winning culture. We just don't have a winning culture of winning big games or when we're supposed to win big games. We have not had a culture of that for 20 years. A couple things just to mention.
But
here.
Just so, real quickly, though, Jeff. Now, if I am, let's just say I was a Browns fan, or let's just say I'm a Lions fan, or I don't know, a team that is not usually good. I know the Browns had a good season this year. Sure. They're gonna hear that, and they're going to say, what the heck are you talking about?
Exactly.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is one thing when you're at the top of the mountain, and the Packers have kept on getting back in the postseason, but Favre never got that second championship. Rodgers right now doesn't have that second championship. So I just think we have to be careful when talking about the culture, because a lot of people would take a culture that goes from Favre to Rodgers and has won 2 total rings. But there is something to be said when you win. I don't want to say it's greedy, but you expect when you have that greatness to do a little bit more than just winning one Super Bowl. And then there's where some disappointment may set in, if that's the right word.
Sure. And again, just to that point, I guess it comes down to, like, you know, let's just, we don't have to go too far back in time and just look at last year. The Packers were a darling last year with the first-year head coach, make it to the NFC Championship. Packer fans were deluding themselves that they think that we were good enough to be able to make it to the Super Bowl last year over that. We were just outmatched. So you look at a year like this year, and all the stars aligned, minus, you know, the first-round draft pick with Jordan Love. A lot that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Didn't show a culture of trying to win today, like how Tampa's trying to win today. But bottom line is it comes down to underachieving and overachieving. Browns fans for 20 years haven't had, you know, teams on the field where people are like they expect them to be there. That's been a culture established for 20 years here now. And when there's expectations of winning and you underachieve, that's what I think is difficult for a lot of Packer fans to swallow.
Yeah, no, really Jeff, it is fair. And here's what I'll just say. When I look at that, I know I was very critical of what the Packers did this offseason. I was extremely critical. But let's be real. You had a 13-3 team. You won your first playoff game. You have a home playoff game. You're one win away from the Super Bowl. You didn't lose the game yesterday because they drafted Jordan Love. You didn't lose the game yesterday because some of the lack of moves in the offseason. You didn't. You lost the game because of poor coaching and the quarterback had the ball three times and didn't come through. Yesterday's loss, it's very simple. Yeah, could you put yourself in a better situation, maybe with a little bit better roster? Sure, but you were the number one seed. Rodgers had an MVP season. LaFleur headed into that game yesterday, six regular season losses in his first 2 years. You had the team. You got off to a bad start. You didn't defend well up against Scotty Miller at the end of the first half. Second half, you fumble the ball. They score a touchdown. You got back in the game. Brady gave you every chance to go win that game in the second half. Every chance. Three drives, three and out, and then LaFleur made a terrible decision at the end. All right, that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Mark Mario, feel free to call back tomorrow. Sorry for keeping you on hold and not getting to you. We'll take your first up tomorrow if you want it. Big thanks to Bruce Arians for joining us. Ryan Tracy, great job. Great job on the calls, tweets. Talk to you manana, everybody. Joe Willie Namath will join us tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's when the fun gets started. I'm Zach Gelb. I'm out. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.